Welcome everybody to the second episode of the Connor Campbell Show, this time with a special guest, Mr. Hunter Williams. Introduce yourself, Hunter.
Hey guys, I'm Iceberg 526 and I don't really have this deep of a voice, but whatever.
Alright, well, he used his alias, apparently. Yep. Not really supposed to do that on this podcast, but you know, anything flies. So, let's go ahead and play some of our intro music. This is my original composition. It doesn't have a name yet. But, we'll go ahead and play it.
Okay, I'm gonna mute my mic.
There we go. Short and sweet, to the point, but otherwise perfect, to be honest.
I like points.
Yeah. Can't really think of a better, you know, a better intro song for such an exciting upcoming show. Got a bit of news today, so let's go ahead and start off with a bit of technology news, which I'm personally very excited about. I'd be even more excited if I had the money. So let's try and get some real sponsors in. Listen to this and
Here we go.
Let's get some real sponsors in so we can get money and buy things. To improve the show, obviously. But first bit of news today. Hunter, I don't know if you heard about this. You're in the gaming community as am I. But the Oculus Rift Dev Kit 2 is now on sale for $350.
Yeah, I'm excited. I hope that the price goes down a little so it will be easier to quote-unquote obtain, but other than that, it looks like it's going to be really good and get a lot of sales.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited about it. It seems, if you don't know what the Oculus Rift is, it's this virtual reality console, basically, where you can play different games on it, and it's like a headset that you wear, and it feels like you're immersed inside of the gaming environment.
I'll find a picture for them if they want.
Yeah, we'll put it in the description or something. And
well, I mean, you could just pull it up. This is just audio crap.
Yeah, that'll be really good for an audio podcast. But
yeah, it sure will.
But it was relevant recently. If you watch the show Game of Thrones at South by Southwest in Austin this past week or last week, they had a Game of Thrones Oculus Rift set up. Did you hear about that, Hunter?
I heard about that, I think.
That was the original one. I think the original one was, $299, right, Hunter?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
It was like about $300. This one's $350. But, it looks really cool, it looks really fun, and I would like to have one. Another thing...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people always talk about this. Like, the Oculus Rift, like, it's not available. It's been available for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And $350, that's a lot of money, but... And, like, if you look at what you get for $350, you get to be immersed in an entire environment that is pretty much like nothing we've ever seen before. It's really cheap for what you get.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, you can use it in a bunch of games. Like, if you haven't watched, Mine and see them, and to a lesser extent, you know, sometimes Spock gets in there. But if you haven't watched our series TF2, you should go check that out. But basically, what they've done is I think you can use it on almost any Steam game, of course. So if you use it on TF2, it's pretty cool as well.
And they even had one for Flappy Bird. It was like a mod for Flappy Bird that was a first person, and you were the bird.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see that with the? They had a guy.
I played it.
Where'd you play it? Did you were you in a store somewhere? Or do you know somebody that has one?
I knew somebody who had one, but they had moved away not too long ago. Sad.
Well, anyways, got another topic, not related to that at all, to be honest. But
Boy, I would love if you just said like. Not related to it at all, and then just said, so the new Oculus Rift came out.
But going back to that, I think it's available now, so if you have the money, you can go and buy it right now.
So go check it out.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. But another topic, that it this one's been beat to death, obviously. But
oh boy,
that Malaysian Airlines.
Oh my god,
that story just keeps getting weirder and weirder, and I want to stop talking about it, but new bits pop up, and it's just hard to not talk about it. Like
I agree,
yeah. Like last night alone, they found out that the plane was pre-programmed to go off course, which probably leads way into the thinking of a hijacking. Would you agree, Hunter?
Yeah, I would agree. It's definitely one of the more possible theories.
I heard a really weird theory, and I'll look it up to see if I can get it back.
But, like that Pixar theory?
Oh god, we won't even get to the end of that right now. But, one theory is that there was a government agency on board, because apparently, out of all the passengers, like 20 of the passengers were people from the same government company. And there was some theory that on that plane they were working, it was like some like not black market, but like just under the radar government company. And the theory is that they were testing some invisibility cloaking technology. Which
what?
Yeah, total bull. But you know, it's just another.
I mean, at least it sounds that way. Yeah.
Yeah, it probably is. I mean, we don't know for sure.
Yeah, I mean.
But
I'd say I'm 99.9999 never-ending nines % sure that that's not true.
Yeah. But I saw another theory. Is that It went along with the hijacking theory, but added on to the fact that they thought that the pilot or the two pilots had flown the plane up above 45,000 feet, because that's where the it's like with the oxygen, not it like cut, you know, you can't breathe.
Yeah.
Up there, like when you, once you get it that high, so the theory is that the pilots either traveled that high and suffocated everybody in the plane and then just let it fall. But I've also heard another one that they flew below 5,000 feet, that they that way they wouldn't be on a radar, you know?
Yeah.
And then just hijacked and just, you know, basically either flew it onto land or into the into an ocean or something.
Yeah. I mean, that you know, like, both the kidnapping ones are definitely, or at least the way I see it, extremely likely. I mean, similar things have happened in the past, if you look back, and I feel like, you know, this time would be no different.
Especially in other countries.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, if it is a hijacking, which it's beginning to look like that's the most likely possibility, that you don't hear about that since 9/11 in the U.S. Like, I don't think another hijacking will ever take place over U.S. soil again, just because of all, like, the protection that we go through for every single plane.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, sure, you know, you can bring up the, you know, the little passport booths, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, like, all sorts of these precautions with the Army and radar
and
systems.
And not to mention just the people that are always on the plane. I don't think people that are on planes will ever let another hijacking take place.
Yeah.
But another thing is, like, we've, as a world, we've lost an entire plane. In 2014, that shouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
Even if it is in another country. Like, in the U.S., this is more of a U.S. example. But think about all the tracking that the NSA does on you. Like, they know where almost every single person in the country is at every single moment. If they can keep track of a person, they can keep track of a plane.
And that brings me back to, like, you know, a bunch of people being like, well, they flew under the radar. Well, sure, you can say that, but, you know, as Sam just said, I mean, they literally have all sorts of tracking devices
that
they track.
And do you not think that they might not have done this, but it's just, like, silly if they don't. They know how to track every single person in the country. They know how to tap into your phone calls, tap into your emails, tap into your web browser, and they know how to find you at any time they want to. But you tell me that they won't put, like, a tracking device on a plane to know where it is at all time? Like, even if it's just a little bug on the back of a plane, they wouldn't do that?
Exactly. I mean, it's in my point of view, it's, like, much easier to put, you know, something on a plane than it is to, you know, track a human being or a phone call. And I know, basically, the government has complete control over the phone lines and stuff now, so, yeah, it was fairly easy, but still, I mean, yeah, it's easy just to attach a little bug or something on it.
I mean, that plane's the size of a building.
Exactly, you know? Yeah.
But that could be brought into the argument of, you know, not even rose-colored glasses, just like the so-called security blanket that we have when we don't actually have any security at all.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you brought it down to a smaller scale, you look into something like a supermarket. Like a supermarket, they have cameras everywhere, you know, like every single corner you look in. Half of those aren't plugged in. It's just as a scare tactic, yeah. And a lot of the country's security is built in as a scare tactic, and we're not actually safe.
Yeah, exactly.
But I guess we can get off that topic.
We'll give it a little break.
Yeah, getting a bit heated. We can move on to another one, though. Speaking of the Oculus Rift and Flappy Bird.
I thought you said that that we weren't going to be talking much more about the Oculus Rift earlier. See you.
Well, I'm just joking. It's possible that I just read another piece of news that I wanted to share, and I just tried to, you know, relate it to something.
Work it in, hoping I didn't know. Okay.
Okay. But anyways, the creator of Flappy Bird, was he, South Korean?
Oh, God. Hold on. Let me research that.
Somewhere. I just wanted to ask because I can't say his name. But the creator of Flappy Bird, who took Flappy Bird off of the App Store so people can't get it anymore, even though, I mean, people think he's not going to lose any money over that, you know. Because even after it got taken down, I still see new ads pop up. So he's not losing a bit of sleep over it. He's not losing any money. But he said that he's going to bring Flappy Bird back to the App Store so we can all rejoice.
Yeah.
But not soon. Somebody asked him on Twitter.
Dong Nagyum.
Yeah, that's it. But anyway, somebody asked him on Twitter if he's going to bring Flappy Bird back to the App Store, and he replied, "Yes, but not soon." So we will see the return of Flappy Bird.
Yeah. Also, if like somebody is out there and you know they know that I pronounced this name wrong, I'm sorry. I'm not exactly that good at reading. I get, is he Korean? Or South Korean?
Something.
Yeah, something or another. You know, mine see him's head put together say that he's South Korean.
I don't know. Yeah, I think he might be. But, also, more Flappy Bird news doesn't seem to end.
it never does.
If you're an Android user, as am I, then, make sure of what Flappy Bird APK that you've downloaded, if you've downloaded one. Because, you know, with Android's third-party downloads that you can do, there's plenty of downloadable Flappy Bird files on the internet, but some of Korean been putting malware into Android phones, so just watch out for that.
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, a lot of people making these quote-unquote copies of Flappy Bird, and well, some of them, or most, a majority of them seem like there's something wrong with them, make sure to check the file.
Yeah. And there's plenty of antivirus apps for Android that you can just get and run or scan on your phone. So,
yeah.
Just do that from time to time, even if you didn't download it, it's always safe.
Just a little warning for you guys watching.
Yeah. If you're on Android, just check your phones every once in a while. I want to talk about a bit of news. It's a bit old, but I do have something to say about it.
So you mean like you?
Yeah. So anyways, and I don't know if you heard about this, but Google, the company, recently just bought a thermostat company called Nest. Have you heard of Nest?
I've heard of it, but I did not know that Google bought it.
It's like an automated thermostat. Like there's like an app for it. You can get on your phone and control your thermostat. And I think they even made a smoke detector and lights that you can all control from your phone. It's like moving forward into the smart house era where everything can be be controlled onto from a tablet or from a phone. And Google recently bought that company. I'll look up how much they bought it for. I think it was a couple million or something. I want to say it was like 13 million.
So how's everybody in the audience doing out there?
Oh.
Y'all doing good?
I was wrong. $3.2 billion Google bought Nest.
My God.
So $3.2 billion. And let me tell you why that's a good idea and why Google has such good plans for the longevity of their company.
Please go ahead.
All right. So Google, one of the biggest companies in the world, or at least in the U.S., right? I mean, they've got their fiber optic internet rolling out. They're the biggest search engine. They're a tech company that makes phones, tablets. They bought Android a while back. They run Android.
But what about Bing?
No, Google's the biggest.
Yeah. Bing doesn't compare to Google, at least in terms of customers. So, Google, one of the biggest companies in the U.S., bought Nest. Now, what Nest does, you can control it from a tablet or a phone or whatever, but what it also does, another feature, is it learns the patterns that you do, like you use. So, say you like to turn your thermostat down at night so it gets cooler when you're in bed. If you do that a lot, Nest will start to learn, and it'll just start to do it automatically, and then it'll know to turn it back up in the morning, which is already scary. So it learns that. It learns the patterns of your energy use. So Google, biggest company in the world, what does Google need to run? They need energy. They need energy to power all their servers. They need energy to know what their users are doing. They need energy for everything that they have. So what's the best way to get energy? The best way to get energy is to know how people use it and how they can use it. So, what's the best way to learn how people use energy? Buy the company that knows exactly how every single person that buys that product knows how they use their energy. So this will totally work out for Google in the long run.
Yeah, I agree. Like the investment here, and you know the amount of people who are getting these devices. That will definitely, and it's not just about, the money here, but also customers, but, definitely, Google from its investors will get, a lot more money, and in the same, sense, a lot more customers.
And just think about how much Google runs your life. Like, just think about, all right, so eventually I'm gonna say that probably every internet company will switch to fiber optics, and I mean that's, you can get up to like a gig download per second, and and probably soon enough, the reason Google is rolling out fiber optics as one of the first companies to do it on a large scale is not just so that they will get more customers, it's to scare the other companies into turning into fiber optic. But
I've heard of that kind of stuff.
So, Google Fiber rolling out nationwide probably soon. It's already in a bunch of cities. Google Fiber be rolling out soon. Like we said, Google already runs Android. Google makes TVs. Google runs your computers. They have those Chromebooks that everybody uses. Like those little, have you heard of those, Hunter? Those little...
The Chromebooks.
Those little netbook things that just run version of Google.
Those whoosie wussets,
But I mean, Google could theoretically control every single thing in your life. That's going back to today, and we were watching that video, the Pixar theory about by and large. Yeah, think of Google as by and large.
Exactly. If you guys want a link to that video, I don't know. I guess Sam put it in the description.
Yeah, I'll put it in the description.
We'll put all of these like things that we're referencing, I guess, in the description.
Yeah.
So that way you can go watch them yourself.
But it's just scary.
And yeah, it kind of. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I was just gonna.
Okay. It kind of makes that theory video. That we watch seem a little bit more plausible in some ways, but it also makes it seem less plausible. In my point of view, anyway.
And I wanted to talk about net neutrality, but that's just another topic that's been hammered down.
Oh, God, yeah.
But I guess we can talk about it for a bit.
Yeah, we'll do a little bit of chatting on it.
All right. So a couple weeks ago, Time Warner bought Comcast. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Time Warner.
Yep.
Time Warner bought Comcast. So, now you'll get terrible customer service with just terrible packages. But anyways.
Yeah.
Time Warner bought Comcast. But now Time Warner, which is now also Comcast, and Verizon are looking to merge. None of them are looking to buy each other, but they're looking to merge. And have a partnership. But one of the scary things is Time Warner, of course, specializes in cable and television, not the internet. And so they want people to pay more for television and try and get away from the internet because they already, I mean, it's in their numbers. People are moving towards the internet and leaving television. And they stop buying cable boxes. They stop buying their upgraded package deals because people just don't watch that much TV anymore. It's all moving to the internet and streaming.
If you don't mind me interrupting real quick.
No, go ahead.
This kind of goes, you know, hand in hand with, like, you know, sites like Netflix, Hulu, and, you know, any of those other sites where you
exactly.
can pay.
That's what I was just about to bring up.
Oh, yeah.
So, what Verizon and Time Warner Cable are talking about. Alright, so say Verizon partners with Time Warner Cable, and this is mostly Time Warner Cable's fault. Time Warner Cable is looking in to making you pay more per month for internet. And they're not, like, it's not just they're going to raise your entire package up. What they're planning on doing is, say you use a service such as Netflix. You use it to stream movies, yeah. And you use it to stream TV shows and whatever, and you don't use Time Warner Cable for shows and TV. So what Time Warner Cable is doing to counteract that, they're planning on raising the price on what they're going to call something like a video package or a streaming package. And what that'll do is you'll get basic internet, you'll get social media sites like Facebook, and you'll get Google, you'll get all your basic internet sites, but they'll say, if you want to use a service such as Netflix, or YouTube even, because it's arguably bigger than Netflix, if you want to use a service like that, you're going to have to pay us an extra $40 a month, because people are using that way more than they're using television. And so, I mean, but that's taking away the neutrality and the open source of the internet, and it's throwing all of that out the window. It's throwing out what the medium of the internet is supposed to be, and just it really makes me mad because that's going against everything that the internet's supposed to be.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, in that same sense, basically, for those of you who don't like science terms, what we're saying is Time Warner Cable is basically, if they do this, going to screw themselves over.
Basically.
Essentially, yes.
And not just Time Warner Cable. Other companies,
as well as other companies, yes. Sorry.
Google probably won't do this. They don't have anything else to rival their company. So,
Go ahead. Let's face it here. Google and, Google and YouTube have already, of course, merged to make Google Plus.
Which everybody's mad about, including me.
Yeah, but which, you know, some would say was a bad move on Google's part, but basically you've just collided what some would say two of the biggest internet superpowers that, you know,
well,
some people
say. Also, like, Google Plus, not many people were using it, so what did Google do? They made people use it. They forced people to do it.
Exactly. Like, if you have a YouTube account or, you know, something like that, you know that it's just a big freaking headache.
Because everybody uses YouTube. Pretty much everybody uses YouTube, and hardly anybody uses Google Plus. So what do they do now? If you want to leave a comment on YouTube, it leaves it to your Google Plus and automatically shares a video to your Google Plus. If you upload a video, it automatically uploads it to your Google Plus, and they're forcing the interaction between those two between those two websites. And I'm just not a big fan of being forced to do something.
Yeah,
especially
I mean,
with the redesign that already has a bunch of bugs. I can't get to my inbox anymore on YouTube. I can barely figure it out. It's just all a mess.
And for those of you who don't know, yeah, we're not exactly like the brightest people, but we definitely know quite a bit about this stuff, and neither me or him can figure out this messed up system that they've done.
And I just don't understand it. People have complained, people have petitioned, people have done everything they can to get YouTube back to the way it was, and they won't listen. People have, like, big YouTubers have stopped making videos just because they can't handle the new layout.
Yeah.
Like, pretty big YouTubers that brought in a lot of audience for Google. I mean, maybe a fraction of, like, their entire audience, of Google's entire audience, but that's a lot of people, and that's, like, that's another input that you've lost. But maybe it's good for them because it's an input that they've lost that was hating on them because of their terrible decision to integrate those two things.
Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. That was us. Starting out talking about Time Warner Cable and ending up on the terrorism of Google Plus.
Pretty much. And, maybe you have a service like, I know a lot of people around here use Windstream, and you probably won't be in as much trouble with them because they don't have a television side of things, but say they merge with the company. What, like, every company, every internet service provider, they could eventually merge. I mean, you don't know what happened. You could eventually come up with a new world order for the internet, basically.
Yeah, but essentially, yeah.
And it's scary to think of it. I mean, a lot of people, going back to the YouTube Google Plus thing, not even just when they've integrated with Google Plus, they've made a lot of bad decisions in a very short amount of time. It started around 2011 or 12 when YouTube basically just took all of the perks that you would get with a, a partnership. If you got partnered by YouTube, you would get a custom banner, you would get custom thumbnails. They took all those things away, and just then now they offer them to everybody. Now anybody can monetize their videos, and some might say that's a good thing, but for the YouTube partners, that's really not, because it takes everything special away from them.
Yeah.
And then they had a new layout design come out in 2012. People didn't like it. They've made subtle changes to it until about October 2013, when they came up with the, you know, the worst idea ever, integrating Google Plus with YouTube. And then now, like I said, a lot of big YouTubers have quit their jobs on YouTube. We just lost those YouTubers.
Yeah, and a lot of good ones at that, like really popular ones.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. Before we continue with this, well, for those of you who are out there watching this, if you're watching this, assuming you haven't already left because you hate our opinions, these are just our opinions on this. You know, you might think that Google Plus is, you know, pretty cool. I don't know how, but, you know.
I mean, I wouldn't be as mad if they didn't make you use it. If it was just an option.
Yeah.
I mean, Google rolled out Google Plus in 2010 or 2011 or whenever it was. And They did okay at first. Like, a lot of people signed up because it was Google, and everybody knows that it was Google. And, but after a while, I guess it sort of tapered off, and they were very, very mad. So now they forced everyone to use Google Plus, which arguably has made it drop even more because people just got mad and left YouTube.
Exactly. So, personally, the way I feel about it is Google should never have... I understand that Google and YouTube wanted to come together, but honestly, I don't think they really ever should have.
And to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised. But actually, I imagine that Google Plus already gets enough members and visitors each day because of the Hangouts feature. A ton of people use Hangouts feature, and that's a good feature. I like to use that feature. But, I mean, yeah, you go through Google Plus for that. I imagine enough people do that. And how much more money does Google really need, you know?
Yeah, I know. And we're not at all calling, like, Google greedy or anything. We're just saying that they have a lot of money. They're partnered with a bunch of people, so this might be even something that on YouTube's part, you know?
Yeah. Which is now Google. Money.
Which is, yes, now essentially Google.
I mean, Google bought them in 2008?
Yeah.
Because Google Video or whatever they had was doing terrible. But to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a surge and a resurgence in other video sharing sites like Vimeo or Dailymotion or whatever.
Yeah, even something like that, I don't know.
But, you know, Google and YouTube, good for the partnerships. And, I mean, I like Google. I imagine Hunter likes Google.
Oh, yeah, for the most part. Perfectly fine. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's my search engine of choice. I use Chrome as my browser on all my computers. I just think that no matter how good they are or how good you are, they made some bad decisions lately.
That's the sad truth of it all. I mean, Google, used to think that, you know, Google was doing a lot better back before, you know, YouTube and its partnership ever started.
Exactly.
So, quite frankly, I feel like if they had never done that, then they would be a lot more successful than they are currently.
I think the two companies would have started, I think people would still be using YouTube as much as they are now, and I just think it would have been better. I mean, they could have went public and without selling the company. And it probably would have worked out just fine for them. But anyways, that was like a really long rant on one subject. So let's go ahead and switch maybe to a different subject.
It's whatever.
Got a couple bits of Facebook news. So you probably have noticed it within the last week. Facebook rolled out their new timeline. And
I'm going to go check it out right now.
So, to me, it kind of looks like the older one. If you look to, like, the left side and you have all the games that you use and the apps that you use, it kind of reminds me of the old one.
Yeah. I mean, the kind of side area where it has, like, you know, your news feed and your apps, friends, pages and interests and all that crap. Yeah, it hasn't changed a whole lot, but everything else around it basically has.
Yeah. It's more gray now than white.
I mean, they've tried to, like, kind of make the stuff in your news feed, or the way I see it, pop out a little bit more and stuff.
And it's probably going back to what I talked about on the first episode of this show, where Facebook made that new app, Paper, which is basically a newspaper app, but it's integrated with your Facebook, so it's got all your Facebook stories on it, but it looks like a newspaper. They've probably done it to intertwine with that and get people ready for that. Most likely. Which, I'm still not a very big fan of Facebook, to be honest, just because of all the censorship that goes on there.
Yeah.
But, another bit of Facebook news. This is a bit old, but Facebook bought WhatsApp, that messenger, that messaging app.
Yeah.
which I think again, it like most of you might not have heard of WhatsApp, but it's very big in foreign countries, you know. I think it has sort of died out since the rollout of iMessage on the iPhone. But I do think it still gets a lot of use, especially, like I said, in foreign countries. But I'll look up how much Facebook bought WhatsApp for. I think it was like another couple billion dollars or something. But like I said, I think this will be another great choice for the longevity of a company. Yeah. Facebook bought WhatsApp for $16 billion. So even more than what Google bought Nest for. So as you can see, a lot of money being spent recently, but a lot of money is being spent on things that I think will definitely work out for companies in the long run.
Yeah. I'm not going to get back into the other topic, but I'm fairly certain that's how we got into, you know, the whole Time Warner Cable thing and stuff. Like, basically what we were saying there is some decisions, like, for instance, you know, Facebook or Google buying Nest and Facebook, you know, like paper and stuff. But Time Warner Cable has recently been making investments that we feel will not help out in the long run. So basically what we're talking about with these two topics together is we're talking about how, you know, how good or bad the decisions that these companies are making are.
Yeah. Which, like we said, I don't really want to go back to the Time Warner Cable Verizon thing. But
we spent a lot of time on that.
It's an important issue, though. It needs to be talked about.
Yeah. It does need to be talked about. But I think we addressed it for longer than we needed to.
Probably. I just think it's really going to ruin the internet, though. I'm really worried. But, a bit more of Apple news. Not really news, just a fact that I read that really made me sad. Steve Jobs, late co-founder of Apple and one of the greatest innovators of this time, I just read about in his autobiography that he wrote. He described, if you don't know, he died of cancer is what he died of. And in his autobiography, but he wrote before he died, he described cancer that he thought it was going to be within the next 10 to 20 years. He said he thought he would still be alive long enough to see cancer become a disease that people could live with because of the upbringing of technology and just the the innovations in technology, which is, it's really sad if you think about it, to see that he died of that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That is pretty sad.
But, people, Pandora just raised their prescription fee. So, yeah. If you don't know what Pandora is, it's an online internet, radio streaming service that, you can create, different personalized channels that you can listen to with, according to what artist you want to listen to or what genre. And, you can listen to it for free. It's just going to have a couple of ads in there. But it has an ad-free subscription price that you can pay for each month that'll get rid of all the ads. It usually costs $1. That's how much it's been costing. They're going to raise it to $5.99 now. And they're also doing away with their annual subscription, which was usually $36.
Well... not often, but I really just kind of sit down and listen to music on Pandora, but when I do, you know, Pandora is a very good service to get music on, so if you haven't checked out the site, go ahead, and I would definitely check it out sometime.
Yeah, to be honest, I like to listen to radio and internet radio a lot more than I like to listen to just my iPod or anything like that. I don't like I don't want to choose what I listen to, basically. I want to choose sort of what I listen to, but I don't want to choose the exact songs that I listen to.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. It's because
I understand.
I don't trust myself. But, so, Titanfall has come out on the Xbox One and the Xbox 360. Hunter, have you been playing it?
I am trying to get it as soon as possible, because Titanfall looks like it is going to be a great game.
Yeah, I haven't played it yet. But the reason, I mean, first-person shooters, I like them. They're not my favorite type of game. But, I mean, I do like them. But the reason I'm really excited for it is because, I think it's going to kind of kickstart the next generation consoles. I think people have been waiting for the one game and app to play that, I think they've been waiting since the launch of the next generation consoles, and I think Titanfall will be the one for the Xbox One. I think that'll persuade customers to buy the Xbox One and move away from the earlier generation consoles, and I think when Infamous Second Son comes out on the PlayStation 4 that it'll that will be in full swing next generation when those things come out.
Okay, so just real quick, I want to kind of bring up something. I personally am... I'm not a big fan of PlayStation. I would rather do Xbox. So, you know, as far as the PS4 quote-unquote true launch of the next generation goes, I probably won't be doing that game, but I might. And as far as I wanted to say, as what you said, that the true launch of the next generation consoles will be these games, or will more than likely be anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, you have Call of Duty Ghosts that came out not long ago, if you haven't played it, good game. And you know, you have other stuff such as Dead Rising 3, which you have played, correct?
Yes, I've played through that game like 4 times to get all the endings.
and, you know, well, those two games, they were definitely good games, and of course, you know, they were released near the launch. Dead Rising 3 definitely was.
Yeah, it was close launch to the title. Launch. I think it came out as soon as the one came out.
Yeah, and Ghosts, I'm not sure if it came out like right when the Xbox One came out,
It was before, because it was on the 360. It was on the 360 and the PlayStation 3 for a bit before it came out on the One.
But basically what I'm saying here is, while those games may have been great games, and they did, of course, quote-unquote, launch the consoles, I agree with Sam when I say that these two, Titanfall and, I can't remember the name of the
Infamous other. Second Son.
Yeah, Infamous Second Son, sorry about that. But an Infamous Second Son, those two will more than likely be the quote-unquote true launches of these next-generation consoles, because, I also agree with him when I say that these should definitely inspire people to come out of the Xbox 360 / PS3 stage and, you know, come to the next generation consoles.
Which I personally am excited about, because I have an Xbox One that I don't get to play that often because I don't have anybody to play with, because nobody else has one. So.
Wink, wink.
Yeah. So everybody go out and spend $500 so you can, you know, play with me.
Good $500. Sponsored by Sam Campbell's Xbox Live, or Xbox. Is this still Xbox Live?
Yeah, it's still Xbox Live.
Okay, Xbox Live on the Xbox One.
Yeah. But anyways, I didn't really listen to much you said there because I was reading up on an article that I wanted to mention next.
Yeah, okay.
So,
nobody listens Apple to what Ice has to say.
Apple recently unveiled on their website a cheaper iPhone 5C. Because and it's only going to be available in foreign markets. It'll be available in the UK, France, Germany, Australia, and China, and it's going to be 8 gigabytes instead of the original 16 gigabytes that the regular one came out in. It's to boost sales, because I see a ton of people walking around with 5Cs in the US where I live, but I guess the foreign market wasn't really that big on them. And they're trying to boost sales on that. I don't know why anybody would buy an iPhone, though. That just at all. But, gonna be $778.
Oh, man.
So, you know, cheaper.
Let me just pull out my wallet real quick. Wait.
It's gonna be $711.
Okay, well, that's even better. Let me just pull my wallet out real quick.
The original was 778. The new one's gonna be 711. And that's converted from euros because, you know, it's gonna be the foreign market.
And, you know, I mean, it is a decrease, but still, I would not pay that much for a phone.
Much less an iPhone. Never.
Yeah, much less an iPhone. You know,
Jesus,
I mean, yeah, I know.
But,
yeah, it's kind of scary.
It really is that people have such brand loyalty.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy to see people standing in line for hours and hours waiting for a phone or a tablet. It's just crazy. But, I guess, this will probably be the last topic we talk about today, this next coming one, because we're probably getting close to time to wrap up. It'll probably be at about 50 minutes to an hour once we do this topic. But, all right, so according to analytics, smartphones are fading and will soon be a thing of the past, and wearables are next, such as smartwatches and smart gear. So what do you think about that?
Oh, well, I mean, sure. Of course, you know, if you've heard of the Google Glass, was it?
Yeah, those are the glasses.
Yeah. The little Google Glasses, of course. Made and produced by Google.
Once again, something else made by Google.
Yes.
You know, that camera on there, probably to track your entire daily movements.
Which brings us back to the second topic we talked about. I can't remember the first. No, wait, the first one was the Oculus Rift.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not my point.
And then we got into net neutrality and Google, and we went for like 4 hours on that.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, you know, with all of these new, quote unquote, devices coming out, I can see that in the near future, you know, there won't be as many, you know, Apple phones or just like phones in general.
Okay,
iPhones, whatever.
So, sales of mobile devices like phones and things like that, smartphones, they're still rising, but they're tapering off, and they're expected to plateau soon within the next few years, and then start to fall. PCs and laptops they're already declining, and they're being taken over by tablets and mobile and phones. But eventually those are expected to die out, and we're going to move on into things like Google Glass and other companies like that, and or other devices like that, like the watches and things like that, which, I mean, I don't, like, companies are they're putting big bets on these small devices, and, like, they're investing millions upon millions of dollars into the development of the device itself, and you have to create an entire new operating system for that. Most of the time, it's just going to be a scaled-down version of the original, but it's still another developing team that you have to hire and just pay more hours, and that costs a lot of money. It costs a lot of money to make one kind of device, especially when you're looking into build a new device. So, I hope it works out for him. I haven't got a smartwatch yet or anything like that. But, yeah. I mean, I'd be willing to try it, I suppose.
I guess I would, too. Yeah.
I just...
So, is that...
It'd just be weird, to be honest. You still... Like, even with the watches and things that they have now, you still have to have a phone to connect it to. It's all by Bluetooth. So, I mean, you're still going to need a phone for a while. But,
yeah, exactly.
Really, that's all the topics that I wanted to cover today. So, do you have
anything
else, Hunter?
Anything else? Not really that I know of. So just a little recap real quick. We talked about the Oculus Rift first. Second, we talked about this amazing missing plane, which has just speculated the world. Next, we talked about Google and, you know, its crosses with Nest. And we talked about a couple other things that Facebook has done with crosses. Next, we talked about how Time Warner Cable is making, you know, a couple of mistakes, as well as Google and YouTube creating, or how we feel Google Plus. Then we talked about the next-gen consoles and the launch of Titanfall, which we thought would launch in the next-gen consoles into, you know, the true next generation, I guess. Finally, what we just covered is the release of devices and turn-in of, turn into the devices such as Google Glass. So thank you guys for watching. My name is Icebreaker526.
Just a minute. All right. So you mentioned the missing plane, and that thought that brought up.
Hold on.
That brought up something.
I gotta go do something real quick. Can you talk alone real quick?
Yeah, I'll be fine. I'll vent. But, so, I was talking with my dad earlier about the missing plane. It's on the news because, you know, it's been on the news every night for the past, it's almost been 2 weeks now. And, we were just talking about how we couldn't believe it would happen. And, it's been a while since anything like that had happened. And, I was just asking him, how long do you think it's going to be until they find that thing? Because, like I said, it's been a while. It's been near 2 weeks now and they still haven't found it. And, he said, I don't know, I'm just wondering when the movie is going to come out. And that got me thinking. I just said to him, if you want a serial about the missing plane, just watch Lost, because it's crazy how many parallels there are between this real-life missing plane and the television show Lost. Because I've watched Lost for a while. It's one of my favorite television series. And I said it as soon as I saw the missing plane, how similar it was to Lost. And it's just crazy. But, that's really all I had to say about that. I just thought it was a bit of a funny joke. So, like my friend Hunter said, thank you all for watching, and, we'll hope to see you back here for another episode sooner rather than later. So, thank you all for watching. Goodbye. Yeah.